Welcome to Roaming with Restless Women, real talk with wise, dynamic women leaders. I'm your host, Julie Noonan, CEO and founder of Intuitive Wisdom Coaching, and I'm living my dream life. I live and work in my RV, coaching senior women leaders as they navigate corporate politics, family drama, and personal goals to live their own dream lives. These women are restless. They are never done seeking new opportunities, learning, and creating value in the world. If you'd like to apply to be on the show, stick around to the end and I'll let you know how. Let's go.
Hi, and welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today I have Phyllis Oaken. She co-founded BLS Limo with her late husband 50 years ago. A former social studies teacher, she quit teaching to run the back office from her kitchen on Long Island. Phyllis and her husband grew that company to three offices, and after his death, she and her two sons expanded to 11 more, including an office in London. At 55, she reinvented herself to begin a writing career that produced over 83 award-winning books. Writing as Carol P. Roman and Brit London, she has enchanted children, parents, and teachers with several fiction and nonfiction series. Her joke book, The Big Book of Silly Jokes for Kids, shot to the top of Amazon, outselling every other book for 2 months. Her young adult novel, Grady Will and the Templeton Codex, is currently being turned into a screenplay. After her husband passed, she ventured into mediumship classes, eventually being singled out of her mentorship and endorsed by seatbelt psychic Thomas John. As Lady Phyllis, her ability to connect and give evidential information has built this new venture to many monthly sessions and a steady clientele. Combining her love of teaching with her many talents, she now teaches several courses sharing her knowledge and demystifying mediumship to enable new generations to embrace it. Phyllis has traveled many roads, proving that you don't have to give everything up because of age. Good morning, Phyllis. It's morning today. It's a beautiful day.
It is. Oh, it's gorgeous in New York. It's beautiful.
That's awesome. It's gorgeous. I'm currently in North Carolina, so it's beautiful here as well. So, good morning. And tell me a little bit about yourself, just generally, and then we'll dive into some of your adventures over your course of your life.
Well, currently I'm running the company with my two sons, and now my grandson is starting to work at BLS during the summer. He'll be there. He's training. At our company, our children and my grandchildren have done every single job from washing cars to dispatching to going on sales meetings so that they can multitask. You know, I ran the business in the beginning from the kitchen. So my sons really had it, you know, they've been brought up with it. But my sons also do multiple things. My son Eric has become a psychic on medium on TikTok. He took my course. I kept telling him, take my course. He took it within three sessions. He said, oh my God, I can do this. And he started, he's now the medium on TikTok, as well as he's the COO of our company. My son, Michael, teaches a course on angels on my Patreon. He teaches twice a month. He just completed a course. He also is a medium, but he chooses to concentrate on working with angels, and he is head of sales for for BLS. So everybody does multiple things. And Michael is a screenwriter. He's written 20 books. I edit for him, and I'm his momager. So he's currently on two scripts, and I edit his scripts as well as promote all of his books as well as my own. So I manage over 100 books on Amazon.
Oh my goodness. You are a busy lady. I'll tell you that.
You know what people say? The first thing they say is, I don't know how you sleep. And you know what? It's not like that. I watch junk TV at night. Yeah. I zone out. I used to read more. With age, it's gotten harder to sit in the dark and read.
Yeah.
I'm always doing something, but I do yoga twice a week. I make time. That was something I learned early on because our business is 24/7, the car service, and it's around the world. So, you may be sleeping in New York, but in Australia they're we're doing pickups. So it's 24 hours, 7 days a week, and I have 350 employees, so there's always somebody calling about something. So I learned that you have to make time for yourself, that you can't drink from an empty cup. And that became really apparent when my mother and my husband both got lung cancer within 3 months of each other. Now, my
Oh
mother,
my goodness.
that was a big turning point for us. My mother was diagnosed first. We were best friends. She was my rock. She was also controller of my company. And my husband was the CEO. And within 3 months, she was terminal from the start. We knew that she was going to be terminal. And they said if he slips through the eye of the needle, he could be cured. Now he lived for 15 years,
Wow.
but his lifestyle greatly changed. And he was very angry and bitter. He went from being a powerful guy from operating up here, and he could only get to here. And it was very challenging. So I learned during the time, because I was caretaker to both as well as the business. This was before I was writing. And I learned that you have to make time for yourself. The first thing I did was I organized somebody to come to the house and do yoga with me twice a week
Nice, yeah.
so that I could decompress for 1 hour twice a week. I disconnected. That's a key. So getting back to your original, how do you sleep? When do you sleep? I make sure I sleep. I make sure I eat. I make sure, yeah, you can tell I eat. But I make sure I do things for me. I sit on the phone with my friends. I make sure that I stop what I'm doing and take care of Phyllis.
That's wonderful. I think a lot of people, it takes them too long in their lives to learn that.
Yes.
And then they wind up having a chronic condition.
Yes.
Wow.
Well, I had a
So,
heart attack. I just want to say I had a heart attack at 40, and I had thyroid cancer at 44 prior to my husband and my mother getting sick. And that also was, you hit the wall and you realize that you can't be everything to everybody and you have to put boundaries up.
absolutely. Oh
Yeah.
my goodness. Goodness, goodness. So you were also a social studies teacher before all of that.
Well, I went to school. I graduated in 3 years. And when I got out, I had a teaching degree. I loved teaching. And my husband needed help with, he had started this limo service and he needed someone to run the back office. And he said to me, "You've got to run the back office." And I said, "I would, but I had to quit teaching. I wanted to start the family." So at 23, we began our family,
Wow.
yeah. And I took Yellow Pages. I said if I was going to go home, I was going to make it worthwhile. So I got Yellow Pages and I went A to Z in several major cities picking up accounts. And I built the business from my kitchen in Long Island.
Wow. That's amazing.
It's a great story.
Oh my goodness. Well, and I'm glad that the business is still going and you're building generational wealth and knowledge. That your kids can go now. Okay. Writing. I want to talk about writing. So it takes a lot to have 83 books and then, manage all the other ones that you're doing. So tell me, how did you get into writing and are you self-published? Do you have a publishing house? All of that.
It started, my son wrote a book called Just Ask the Universe. He wanted to share how he was able to manifest what he wanted. And, we said to him, write it under a different name. We didn't, we were pretty public with people knew us with a, what we did for a living. And I was nervous about it. And it was a brand new platform called CreateSpace, which was self-publishing. Well, he sold over 250,000 copies of the book. He did amazing. And that started him on this writing journey. He had been writing scripts since he was 16. His dream is to get a movie. So he had all these scripts and he turned them into novels. I edited them for him and we published, and his books did really well. And he's managed to get himself a manager. And for a while we had a literary agent. So what happened was when my mom passed, she was my reading buddy. We would read. I would read a book and then, we had a little book club and she would read the book and then we would discuss it. When she died, I got depressed. I missed my mom. I was taking care of my husband, who was still quite ill. We had stopped traveling because he couldn't travel. Things were really tough. And I missed my mom. So my kids came to me and said, write a book. They knew for a long time. So, when you say I've written 83, a lot of them are children's books, which are relatively short. And I could basically pop out five books in one weekend.
Oh,
I
goodness.
once I
That's a
got
lot of creativity.
a lot of creativity. And once I had an idea or I was motivated, I could just pop out the book. And what takes the time is editing, finding the illustrators, and I made mistakes. It took me a while. But what had happened was when she died, my son said, write a book. So I came up with a book called Captain No Beard, An Imaginary Tale of a Pirate's Life. And it was about playtime with my oldest grandson, who was 4 at this point, and we had a new baby. Hallie had come into the family, but she couldn't really participate in our playtime yet. So anyhow, I wrote the book about Alex and Hallie, my two grandchildren at the time. And the book was named to Kirkus's Review for 2012, which apparently was a big deal. I mean, CreateSpace called me and they were really excited. And what ended up happening was I got noticed by KDP or Amazon. They brought me in for to represent. What I didn't know is I represented senior writers. I didn't, when they invited me to come in, I thought I was representing writers, but I didn't understand that I represented the older group. So I started, so because of my social studies background, I had an idea. We were in Vegas and my grandson asked me, what was the Eiffel Tower? What was that? And I tried to explain a cultural icon. So I decided to write a series called If You Were Me and Lived In. And I wrote it geared to nursery school and early, grades 1, 2, and 3. And it basically picks five things from each, 10 things from each country, what the money is, what your name might be, where you'd live, which is always the capital, because I figured let kids get familiar with a capital, what you would do for fun, what kind of sports they played. And it's just a simple 10 item kind of book. And I did 22 of those. My husband said to me, this is a great idea, go with it. And so I just, every week I started coming out with a bunch. And then I got hooked up with the homeschool parents and they loved the series. So they asked me to do another series. So I did If You Were Me and Lived In 10 different time periods, the Renaissance, ancient Greece, Mayan culture, ancient Mali. And I did, a series of 10. Now, my grandkids, I started having more grandchildren.
That's
Each
good.
time I had a grandchild, I needed to dedicate a book and I had to create a character in the Captain No Beard series. So that turned out to be a series of 10 because I have four grandchildren and I had to write about their experiences. And I tried different things. I tried rhyming books. I wanted to see what would catch. In the interim, I was asked by a publisher to write a book on mindfulness. I didn't quite know what mindfulness was. And I agreed to do the book if they hired a therapist to help me explain. So I did that book and they liked the results. So then they asked me to write a joke book. So I wrote the joke book right pre-COVID, never thinking anything was going to happen. So I was paid for that, but it's their book. So it was published by them. And the book shot to number one the first in March 2020 when we all
Oh
went.
my goodness. What perfect timing.
It was unbelievable, but that got me tremendous attention. And I netted a literary agent from that. And I subsequently continued to publish books. And I eventually ended up with a young adult book because as my grandchildren grew, I wrote directed to their age group. And
Oh my goodness.
yeah, but then I also wanted to try my hand at adult stories. I wrote as Brit London. I wrote adults, horror, actually horror of all things. So,
Oh my goodness.
yeah.
Okay, I need to understand. Okay, why horror?
It was really weird. I thought I would write romance. I thought I would write many, but when you sit down and write, and that was almost like my son writes paranormal and he writes funny horror and I edit his books. I just fell into horror. It just worked. The first book I wrote was part of the Bulwark anthology as Brit London. A bunch of authors came to me. I was running a group on Goodreads where
Oh, yes.
I would help. I had written a book called Navigating Indie World, and we set up a discussion group to help other writers navigate publishing independently. And so a group of them came to me and said, let's do an anthology together. And they wanted to release it on Halloween. And I said, great. And so I started writing. I created the town of Bulwark. And I started writing a story. I thought it was going to be vampires or witches. And it ended up being a riff on Hansel and Gretel, an adult version of
Oh,
Hansel
wow.
and Gretel.
Oh.
Yeah, what I found is that when you write, you kind of let the universe speak through you. And when I started writing those things, I realized that was a form of automatic writing. It was preparing me for mediumship, and I didn't even realize. So I wrote that, and then none of the others published. Like, I was the only one who actually finished, and the book
Oh.
won awards, and it kind of stayed around for a few months, and then other authors came and said they wanted, and 9 books subsequently happened. I wrote the first book in the series, and 8 other authors wrote. They continued the story through different characters. So I took one minor character and wrote his story. Now, I happened to write The Knowing a week after my husband died. So it's kind
Oh,
of like a
yeah.
story about everlasting love and about traveling through time to be with your person.
Oh.
And then I wrote the final book in the anthology. One character was kind of, nobody, I didn't do her justice. I didn't explain why she was the way she was. And that was The Devil and Dana Dalton. So I finished the series with that. So it's a total of, I think, 10 or 11 books in the series. But, then mediumship, when I lost my husband, I started to study mediumship.
This episode is sponsored by me. So, as a special gift to you, our listeners, I offer a free 1-on-1 15-minute breakthrough session. Bring a problem and an experience how coaching works to see if it could be of value to you. Sign up for an available time on my website, intuitivewisdomcoach.com.
So I always thought that mediumship just was a thing
A gift.
that happened to people or that
Yeah.
they were that way. I didn't know
Right.
you could study it. So tell me about that.
What happened was I had been going to mediums for years.
Okay.
As each person, my father died, we went to mediums, my mother passed. We were going to mediums. My grandmother died, I went to medium. And we love, there are certain mediums that are really good and they present evidential information, and we would go back. We really felt that we were communicating with them. And I always felt it was a gift that I couldn't do it. So when my husband died, I was going weekly. I was just going any medium because I missed him. We were together for 49 years. We worked together every day. So I was going,
Yeah.
I went to a fair, and 3 people at this fair said to me, not only can you do this, you're going to be doing it. And the last medium that day said to me, I'm going to teach you. And that was in 2019, November 2019. So I started taking lessons with him through FaceTime. There was no Zoom. If there was Zoom, I didn't have it.
Yeah.
I was studying with him on Fridays. We would do FaceTime, and I was learning. And then COVID happened. Now my business is transportation, so nobody was traveling. I had a whole
Right.
company together. We were on daily Zooms, and I was isolated. My kids, while they live a quarter of a mile in each direction from me, we weren't seeing each other because we stayed away. Don't forget that was a time when you were getting your bananas and washing them before you brought them into the house. We were scrubbing our mail before we brought it in. We didn't know what COVID was. And so anyhow, I was bored. I was lonely. So I did 2 things to keep my head screwed on. I bought a board and I taught myself how to tap dance with YouTube.
Okay. Yay, I love
Like,
that.
it kept me fit.
Yeah.
And the other thing I did was I signed up for 4 or 5 mediumship courses. And the pandemic went on, and I found that I just kept taking courses and kept taking courses. So I studied with Thomas John. I took a mentorship with him, and out of 86 students, I was the only one he endorsed. Now, in the interim, my kids created a podcast called Okin Bros, where they would talk about all things, and they gravitated toward mediumship. So they
Okay.
invited me on, they brought a guest, and they said, okay, mom, read them. And I was like, what? But I did. Well, the next day, my daughter-in-law decided I should be Lady Phyllis. They bought me 1 square inch of Scotland so that I was legitimately, Lady.
Okay.
And my younger son set up the website, and I started taking calls. And I never thought it would turn into a whole business, or that my children would be doing this. You know, even my grandchildren take the course. They study, they read tarot, they're doing all the different things. So I was reading people, and I have an assistant, and she kept saying to me, "You should teach." So after all these years, like 50 years later, here I am. I created a course, and within 10 weeks, what it is, it's not a gift, it's an ability. We all have the ability to do it. What happens is, when we're children, our parents kind of stifle it when we say, and you'll see, you have a grandchild now. That grandchild's going to be sitting and saying, "I see grandpa," or "I see whatever it is." They're going to be telling you that they hear things, they see things, and you're going to say, "What a great imagination you have." And that third eye kind of crusts over. Or when you pulled your dad or your mom into the room and said, "There's somebody in my room," and they'd look under the bed and they'd say, "Nope, nobody here." That third eye crusts over and you stop receiving. But we all receive information. And I take people through it, gently reopening that third eye, where they begin to realize they're getting messages all the time.
Wow. Yeah, I think people make it so mystical, and the religions, some of the religions of the
Yes, you're right.
world,
Yeah.
make it taboo, if you will. And there that makes it be you makes people be afraid of it.
Right. And there's nothing to be, I'm not followed around by spirit. It doesn't interrupt
Yeah.
my life. You turn it on or off the way you do with, your job, your kids, your spouse, when you don't want to hear them. And they, my kids have a funny thing. They'll go, "Mom, mom, mom, Phyllis," if they can't get me. You know what we do? Sometimes we do turn them off,
Yeah.
and that's basically what it is. It's non-invasive. There's no evil spirits around. There's no such thing.
Yeah.
It's the same concept of, you've been getting these pictures, and we ignore them. We turn them off. We have these monkey minds that are busy processing all day between the phone. I've gotten 3 calls. I don't know if you can see. I'm like, turn
Yeah.
now, not now. But we're constantly being inundated with things, either TV, people, whatever, our phones. We're never disconnected.
Right.
I don't meditate. I do 2 meditations in my series, just so that people can choose to do it. It's almost like I give them a smorgasbord, but you choose to do it. No, it's there's nothing mystical about it. It's so ordinary. The general feeling I get from my students is, "I can't believe I missed all this. It was right in front of me."
Wow, that's phenomenal. I think we all could use a little bit of that. Drop your defenses, drop all of the disbelief and open yourself up to whatever comes your way. And hopefully it's abundance. And even if it's
Sorry.
not, it's something that you can learn from experience as a human being and take wisdom from it.
Absolutely, but we are using these things. For instance, you walk into a party and you see a group on one side and a group on the other,
Oh,
and
yeah.
instinctively you're going to say, "Oh, I'm not going to go to that group. I don't. I, they don't feel friendly." You're using your intuition,
Yep.
and you're just plugging in. You're just not realizing that you're doing it, or you're doing a Zoom call for business, and you want to, you may have your notes, and you're watching people react to what's going on, and all of a sudden you go, "This person, I'm gonna eliminate this from my presentation. I'm not gonna do it." What made us do
Yeah.
that? We get information, and how many times have you said, "Oh my goodness, I haven't heard from Marianne," and then all of a sudden the phone rings, So we are doing these things. We just don't attribute it. We call it a coincidence when it's actually a synchronicity. And what my course does is, I make people pause and say, "Oh, there is a kind of pattern to these things. And maybe grandma is trying to tell me that I'm all right. Maybe grandma,
Yeah.
I do a simple thing. I wrote a book called 366 Affirmations and Inspirations to Live By. I wrote this book in one day, one day, one day.
Wow.
Because my assistant said, write a book about affirmations. I said, I don't know what they are. She sent me a few. I said, oh, I know those. I say them to myself all the time. But what ended up happening is I end up using this book in my readings. And it's always a message that the person needs to hear. Where's the message coming from? From that person on the other side.
Right. Oh, wow. So now, what is the vast majority of your day made up of?
Well, I get up at usually 6. Now, my brother is the CFO of my company, of all the kind. I have 17 corporations, so he's CFO. So, and he's blind. He lost his sight about 10 years ago.
Oh, my
So,
goodness. Okay.
I make breakfast, I make coffee, and I go to the office. I'm in the office by 7. The office is 5 minutes from the house, and I take care of him. He eats, and we start with problems. Every office will start. I have 5 active offices that will call in, and we have a reservation center. We have different centers all over. So we start by calling. Sometimes there'll be a meeting, but we start catching up of what happened the day before. Then usually my kids are there. We meet up with them, so and we talk about future events, like who's handling what. Is a film festival? Is there, whatever's going on anywhere in the country, who has to get paid, who has, these are the
All the
things. I have a department for payroll, so I take care of those things. Usually if I'm making breakfast or we eat out breakfast, we don't eat out lunch. But if we it's whatever meal that we didn't have, we'll go and get lunch together. He leaves the office by 1. I leave the office also between 1 and 2. Twice a week, I still do yoga. And then I have appointments for the rest of the day with mediumship. In the evenings, my older son comes by and we work on his scripts. Or like right now, I'm proofreading his, he's got a new book coming out. So I'm proofreading his book. So I started proofreading last night, and I'll get that published. I handle the publishing end of it. So within 10 days, that book will get published. Depending on, my younger son does the covers, so depending upon when he delivers a cover for it, and it's a book of 4, it's a series of 4, so we have to coordinate that the covers all are similar. So the evenings are books, or and I teach once a week on Thursdays. My son teaches twice a month on Monday, so I always come to his class. Once a month, I have a Patreon where I bring in specialists in all different modalities to talk to my group. So I usually do that once a month. And then I run a gallery once a month where I do group readings. So it's busy, but I still manage to watch TV and catch up with my friends. I was at the ballet Sunday. I went to the ballet in Manhattan. We saw Midsummer's Night's Dream, and
I love that one.
yeah, it was gorgeous. And I went with my yoga teacher. We're friends 20 years now. So
Oh, that's so neat.
every Sunday the kids come over, and we walk the property, and my 4 grandchildren get together and we ride bikes or we play games. Depending on weather, we spend at least 1 hour, 2 hours. Friday nights I babysit for whoever wants me. So it's a busy life.
It is. It sounds great. It sounds a lot like my sister's life, actually. She has 3 sons and almost, well, she has 4 grandchildren and probably a lot more coming, and a wedding, and the 3 or 4 businesses, and I'm just amazed at how much she actually can juggle. I really am. But I also live in my RV with my husband and my dog, and we travel.
That's so nice.
Yeah, so it's that's a lot of fun. But now I'm missing my little baby grandchild, so
You're gonna find it's really hard. I mean, we also travel. I'll travel with my sons. We vacation together a couple times a year, but we go to our different cities Frequently, we usually are out at least 3 to 4 times a year. We're at different conventions or whatever. But I think the big thing that I'm, a big part of my life that I don't have is my husband. So that took up a lot of that gives me more time. And of course, once the dog died, that was another part of my life that, because you take care of it, so I was able to restructure that time to other things.
Well, I have three questions. We're getting close on time, so I have three questions that I ask at the end of every episode. But before I do that, do you have any words of wisdom for the people who are listening?
The greatest thing I could tell, and I tell my daughter-in-laws this, is make time for yourself. Make sure you nourish yourself, and don't put off things. If you want to do it, do it. Make the time, section off time. Everybody can wait. You can tell them, we don't say no. And it's really interesting, but women in particular, they feel that they could just keep taking on. I wrote a book called Oh, Susanna, and it was based on one of my friends ran a website where she did what do you call it, reviews of books, and it blew up. She became huge. And what happened was she had three kids and she was just run ragged, and things started to suffer. So I wrote this book, Oh, Susanna, about how our daughters are watching us. Somehow men, they give the car away to a mechanic, they give the lawn away to, but we do the laundry, we do homework, we work full time. We never say no, we cook the meals, we shop, whatever it is. So you have to delegate, just like any good, you're CEO of your home, you have to delegate. And so if the whites aren't particularly white, if they're kind of, dingy,
Who cares?
make sure you make time for yourself, your girlfriends, letting off steam. You got to do that stuff.
Thank you for that. I 100% agree with that sentiment. When I started being able to do that, my life changed dramatically.
Absolutely.
Yes. So, okay, here are my three questions, or here are my three questions. Okay, first one, close your eyes just for a moment. And when I'm going to say a couple words, and I want you to tell me what's in your mind's eye when I
Okay.
say the words, wise
Okay.
woman.
My grandmother.
Beautiful. Can you describe her for just a minute?
She came to this country in 1924. She had an arranged marriage to someone she didn't know. She took on two stepchildren. She reinvented herself time and time again. She was a teacher in Europe. She couldn't teach here. She didn't know the language. And she was an incredible person. And she lived to 86. And I shared a bedroom with her till I got married. So she was a very important person in my life. She always managed through the depression, through losing her husband, 17 grandchildren, children all over the country. She was the first true CEO I ever met.
That's amazing. A lot of people say their grandparents. And I always love to hear them describe what it was, that made that you think made them wise, and it's pretty
She was a great storyteller, and I used to sit, even if I had heard the stories, and every story, even if you were like, oh, here she goes again, you didn't realize you were learning things about how she lived through the First World War in Europe. And she gave me a love of history, she gave me a love of the story, she gave me a love of just being interested in other people and their stories. So she was truly a remarkable person.
Oh, I love that you were able to share that about her. Okay, second to the last question. You can open your eyes for these. Where do you like to roam?
My head.
You're
I
me too.
Yeah. I don't I stay I like my home. This is my safe place and I can go anywhere. I like to roam on Google, let's put it that way. I'll be watching a show and they'll mention a historical character. Like one of my students made a comment the other day. She said the scope of your knowledge is astonishing. And I thought about it for a minute and I said, well, thanks to Google, because I could be watching a show and whatever I'm watching, I want to know more. So I'll pause it and then I'll look up. And you just, there's this wealth of knowledge available at our fingertips. It used to be that we had to go to the encyclopedia. I mean, you commented about my library. When I built this house, this was my collection. People today don't read books. They don't look at books. You can go, but my children had never been to a public library. Everything they needed was always in the house. So
Wow.
I have a vast array of different subjects, from religion to cultures to I collect books, and so I'm a young kid. And to this day, my kids are they know, my grandkids will look things up. They want to know. So I think that we roam in our heads, and then we cherry pick things that we want to know about, and then we explore it.
I love that. I love that. Okay, so the last question for today is what makes you restless, but in a good way?
Finishing a project. Like we always, my kids would walk in the house, they did their homework right away. Like, I don't like to have things. I have a list, and every day there's a new list. And what makes me restless is if I can't cross things off my list. I have that I've accomplished things. I have to feel that I've finished certain things, so that that's what I do all day long. I'll call any number of 35 people and say, did you do this? Did you do that? Like, I'm checking up on other people. They're all on my list. So, I'm constantly recycling that list.
Oh, you're a woman after my own heart. I also have a list every day and it changes every day. That's great. Well, Phyllis, you are amazing. Thank you so much for sharing everything on this show. And tell me, how can we get your books and see your course?
Well, I write as Carol P. Roman, Carole P. Roman, and Brit, Brit, London, Lunden. I'm on Amazon. You can look me
Okay.
up. But you can go to my website, www.ladyphyllis.com, book a reading out of curiosity. But I just want to say, what you're doing for us is remarkable. The
Oh,
fact that
thank you.
you're bringing a cornucopia of people, you're bringing a variety of people, you're creating a smorgasbord for us
Yeah.
to say, oh, I like, why didn't I think of that? That's a great idea. And you're giving people an opportunity to say, to change their lives and get more out of it. The one
Thank
thing
you.
I adored about my husband was when he made a salad, he would squeeze that lemon and there was not a drop left in that. That's how we live our life, my husband, my children, myself. So,
Love that just as a quote, squeeze every drop out of that lemon.
it is the truth. And like I said, people can, oh, and I write as Phyllis Oken. I have
Oh,
this book,
good. Okay.
which is an inspiration. And before we leave, if you want to pick one page, I'll read it to you and see if it's a message for you. Let's see if it's
68.
68.
I don't know why that popped in my head,
But
but
that's the
that's
whole thing.
exactly. Apparently, I need 68.
You have to pick the first one. And it's really interesting because your page says, I will not be anyone but myself. So that certainly resonates. You can't make this up. The people look, they just open the page and it's like, oh my God, that's what I needed to hear. Or that is someone speaking to you from the other side, letting you know. So,
That's amazing.
It is just, it's terrific. So
Well, thank you so much.
you're
I'm going
welcome.
to stop the recording, but.
Hi, I lost sound, Julie.
Oh, I'm
There
going
we
to
go.
stop the recording, but I want to talk to you just for a second after we
Sure.
leave.
Okay.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. I really appreciate it. And if you like the channel, please like, subscribe, leave me a recommendation. It really does mean a lot. Thank you.
Julie Noonan here. Thank you so much for listening to Roaming with Restless Women. If you're a successful senior woman leader who would like to be on this program, please visit podcast.intuitivewisdomcoach.com. If you enjoyed this interview, please share this episode on social media and make sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Your thumbs ups and reviews go a long way.